Hello and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Dream Team is back in the building. Ben Clark and Marcel Mathis are back for the penultimate pod of the 2024 season. Man, has it gone fast. It seems like it's gone so fast. We have the last three races to review. We've got the two Super Gs, the men's and the women's, and the women's downhill. Unfortunately, obviously, we don't get a final downhill, but before we get on to the ski racing, the most important thing of the season has to be the podcast predictions league. And it has been a tight one at the top, not necessarily a tight one where the three of us have been concerned in terms of troubling the lead, but the rest, everybody else has been pretty tight. I can tell you that it was separated by a single point after the, 74 races across men and women's races this year, and it's separated by a point. And congratulations to Ryan Ballantyne, who ended up picking up the season crystal goblet. Jesse Hansen missed out by a single point. Tom Hiscott rounded out the top three. He was 4 points off the win. Jamie Aldridge with a late charge in fourth, 181. Natasha Drew, 177. Separated by one. And boys, the interesting thing about the top with Ryan and Jesse, they both had different picks for the downhill. So we'll never get to see what happened because I can't remember which way round it was. I have got it written down. But one was going for Odomat, one was going for Sarazan. And so it was it all come down to that. But congratulations.
It's a serious stewards inquiry going in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Complaints into FIS.
Yeah, they've sent, Jesse sent in his letter to FIS. FIS are already sending out the squad to make sure that he doesn't find out where they live. And so, no, it's been pretty good. It's been great. Gareth Harvey, the points master, finishing in eighth. He gave himself an extra few points, no doubt. But we won't hold it against him. But no, huge thank you to everybody that played. It certainly made it more interesting for us, and hopefully for you guys.
There were definitely some tense moments in my household checking at where Marcel's mum was in the standings, and I wonder what they picked for the downhill. And was Tasha going to stay in fifth place? She was like, "If I can stay in top five, that's all that matters."
Yeah. Well,
so when she saw the cancellation for the downhill, it was bittersweet. Can't pick up any more places, but at least I was staying in the top five and not getting overtaken.
She knew she was holding on to the top five. Yeah. So no, some great stuff. Interestingly, you were both tied on your scores for the end of the season. And also Gareth sent me this long list of trying to work out who had actually done better. So Gareth emails to say, both Ben and Marcel finished on 96 points. Edge, you obviously did much better, but gave points away, which is why you only had 82 points. So it goes to count back. Ben picked a winner 14 times. Marcel picked the winner 14 times. Second place is Ben picked the second place finisher six times, as did Marcel, which meant that they both picked the third place finisher eight times. Nothing to say.
We had the exact same numbers on all podiums. That's amazing.
Exactly. We're more fourth places. I can't. We gotta go down on the wire.
But you
here.
don't get points for
There's
fourth.
There's no points for fourth, mate.
Yeah, but like then
the tiebreaker. Who turned up for more podcasts?
Yeah, who turned up for more pods?
So that'd be me. Ben wins. Ben retains the crystal goblet. It's in my car. I was going to have a drink of it tonight, but I've already had a couple, so I thought I'd better not have another one. Good. I say anything inappropriate on the podcast.
Well, now's the time with the penultimate one to go. I mean, if you're going to get us cancelled, you may as well do it now rather than the beginning of the
season. I'll do it in the season finale. We'll do that one.
But But no, thanks very much, Gareth. I hugely appreciate your time and effort doing the points. Thank you very much for that, and to everybody that played. So loved it. We'll be back again as ever. I'm sure we'll talk about how to make it better, but we'll do exactly the same in reality. So just get used to it. But yeah, well, the racing. Let's start off with the women's competition. And Marcel, you must be a happy man. Estela Detska picking up the win in the Super G by 0.28 of a second over Federica Brignone. Kasia Vekoff-Lee in third place. Gut Bahrami down in seventh, but that was all she needed to do. She just needs to be in the points, basically, didn't she? To pick up enough to secure her third globe of the season. But Ledecká, I mean, it was absolutely sensational run, really, really was. Marcel, mate, what were your thoughts, and what was your old man saying about that one?
I got to admit, I had to watch it the next day. I didn't quite realize I was on my stag do, so I only had to watch it the next day. It was amazing. It was fantastic. I mean, what a way to finish off the season. I just had a rough couple races in the beginning and in the middle, but that was really good. Just shows how good she actually is.
Ben, what do you think? Is it a little bittersweet, obviously, with the fact that she's got the speed, but we just haven't been able to see much of her with her injuries and illnesses and stuff? If you were in that camp, how would you be analysing that?
You're part of the camp, you've got to say it's a brilliant way to finish. Like, to be honest with you, she's been out for so long that it's just been a case of where is she at? And because she's not a massively kind of media heavy person, you don't see lots of like photos and videos of rehab, and there's not loads of press clippings of how she's doing and if she's still like pain free when she's training and things like that. So it has been a bit of an unknown. Like, we've seen her appear on some start lists and said she's working her way back to full fitness, and I think this is just the almost like the rallying cry for next season to just be like, right, I'm back, everyone on the speed tour, take note next year. Godja, get fit. Godja, Gut Bahrami, everyone be ready next year, it's on. So yeah, like it's a shame that it's taken as long as it has for her to get back to full fitness, but it takes as long as it takes. You can't rush these things. If you come back too soon, especially as a speed racer, you're never quite sure just how much your body's going to have to go through on any one run. So the last thing you want to do is put yourself out for longer. So I think she's come back well, and we saw in the last couple of races we started to see glimpses of it, and I'm glad now we've just seen just an outright rapid run. So hopefully she can stay fit over the summer and start next season at her absolute best, and we can have her and Godia and Brignone and hopefully Gut Bahrami just go all out
Yeah, because
for the speed title next year.
it wasn't anything to do with bib numbers or anything like that. It was out and out speed and skill that got her the victory. Marcel, have you caught up with your old man yet? Or what was he
Yeah,
saying?
he was very happy. I mean, he was, it's great to, I mean, look at the last couple of results were, first in Super G, third in Super G, fourth in Super G, eighth in Super G. So it's really picked up the pace, and I think it's always a bit of a matter of, self-confidence as well when you come back from an injury, and then she's had a couple of didn't starts, and it was just ill and this and that, and that just cracks your confidence a bit. But now, I mean, that's that's the way you want to finish it off. So I'm very, very glad she's had that result. She's I think when she skied for the last 5 seasons, obviously she didn't ski last year, but she always had like a win, at least one win, so it's good that she could continue that. And I think that's good stuff to come, especially next year for the World Championships. That will give her huge confidence on that hill.
Yeah, coming into that hill. I mean, I'm really hoping that we'll see some more wintry conditions when it comes to February next year. But that it's, I think it's a shame. Obviously, we'll get onto the weather in more depth, but it was a shame that we didn't see Sawak Interglem in all its glory, because I think the hill itself is wicked. So,
Well, considering what the temperatures were, I thought they have done a brilliant job, getting
Oh,
those great
100%.
all the races on. I mean, there was not much they could do, not much else they could have done, really.
No, I mean,
Oh, yeah, Ed, once again, I need to send you a bill for using my podcast insights on live television broadcasts. I've noticed the increasing amount of things that I say on the podcast that you're just like passing off as your own opinion. I was like, we're going to find out how much salt Austria owns, or let's just see how much salt Austria can put onto a racetrack. And that was part of your commentary, was just see how much of the track they can possibly cover in salt. We're about to find out how much Austria
Yeah. Mate,
has.
don't know what you're talking about.
All my broadcast information is entirely my own opinion. It's thought up on
I
the
think that's what
spot.
I
Never
say
heard
at
it before.
the beginning of the show. I just I mean there's about 10 people that listen to this pod, so only the people that were listening would know that that's the case. And no one's going to take
Now,
them
where have I
seriously because
heard
they won't
that
believe it.
insightful information before?
So straight off the top of his head.
He's
But
so
they
witty.
did.
You're so witty.
I know, just the stat, that's why I'm known as the stat man on Eurosport, just not on the pod.
Oh,
But no, it's
excellent.
good.
But
They did you
they did put massive efforts in.
and a lot of
I give
salt.
them that. And you did say Marcel had also said if anyone can hold this race in these temperatures, it'll be Austria. And they found a way to do it. And I thought the women Super G seemed to definitely be the more even of the two Super Gs in terms of the conditions. It didn't seem as bad. There was a bit of wind, but it didn't look anywhere near as bad as it was for the downhill.
Yeah, top 10, just over 8 tenths. It was the top 13 was just over a second. The whole field won by 1.7. I thought, that's proper racing, and it was going down to the wire. Federica Brignone was pushing. She wanted to finish on a high. All of these athletes. I just love the way that, especially in that race, it didn't look like anybody was just sort of skiing to try and get the job done. It was.
So
Looking.
apart from Laura Gut-Bahrami on that first day in the Super G, she looked like she was putting it in the finish
Yeah, but she only had to get,
more
like I said,
so.
she only had to get 5 points over what well, she was
Yeah.
95 points ahead of Brignone, so she just needed to get to
Yeah.
the bottom really inside that top 15 where she was down to seventh. Yeah.
0.5 off as well. Not particularly reserved, but just didn't look like she was risking it the way she would have if that was race was a month ago.
Yeah,
That was all.
exactly.
It wasn't too reserved, but certainly, there was some great skiing. I think it was good as well for Kaiser Wyckoff-Lee to finish the season with a podium as well. She's been skiing really well this year, and has come back from a lot that next year is injury free all year, and you can really see what a full season worth of their racing looks like.
Yeah, the other thing to think about is the fact that Super G, because the men and the women raced on the same course, that it was a much higher speed Super G than the women are used to. They talked about it in the finish area afterwards, about how much, I think it was Wyckoff-Lee that talked about how much fun it was and that they considered using downhill skis because obviously for them the course was a lot straighter than it normally would be, or a lot, higher speeds and stuff. So, again shows that the women on the big hills, on the tough hills in tough conditions, which those were good conditions, shows they absolutely hold their own and don't need to be racing on these on any Mickey Mouse slopes.
Was it actually
That's
the
one of
same?
the ones where you want to see what Goggia would have dumped down that.
Yeah.
Was it actually the same, exact same course?
I think basically, I think they panelled the gates pretty much, turned it round with the flags round from one side so that they were a meter to I can't remember which side, but a meter to the side. So yeah, it was the same course.
Because they're only 2 seconds slower, a bit more than 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So the women went first, and then yeah. I think I did the conditions definitely. I think they could have started a little bit earlier, especially when you're trying to run back-to-back things, because I think we'll get onto the men's in a second. By the time Odermatt and that went at the back side of the top 15, I think the day was done weather-wise. So it was a shame that they didn't, like you say, Ben, and I probably said in commentary, claiming it as my own, that we used to get up at crack a sparrow to race,
Yeah,
inspecting in the dark
it's
and.
inspecting the dark, and then as soon as the sun even starts poking its head over the nearest mountain, boom, number one, off you go. Don't need the flood, don't pay for the flood lights, that's too expensive. Straight off.
Just
But
before,
there was it was a good race. I enjoyed it. I thought that was of the weekend that although the one of the downhill probably had more kind of jeopardy in terms of points on show and affecting the overall standings. I thought just I thought that the Women's Super G was probably one of the best races of, or the best race of that weekend.
The Austrians actually had quite a lot of people in World Cup finals in Super G. They had Arger, Puchner, they had Radler, even, and then Hütter and Vanir. So they had, on the women's side in the Super G, that's quite a lot. The Swiss only had Jasmina Suter, Michelle Gesine, and Gut Bahrami.
Yeah, I mean the Super G is always like the Austrian discipline.
You're claiming it, are you?
No, that's why that's why they won like 10 people. Was it nine people, I think, that was in a Super G?
It was good. It was a good race. It was a good race. But on to the men's, unless you guys got anything to add for the women's. So on to the men's race, which was pretty much straight away after. Stefan Rogentin got his first ever World Cup win. I think it was his second World Cup podium. Loic Maillard came really close to picking up the victory in second place, 300ths behind. And then Arnaud Boisse rounding out a Swiss 1-2-3, 15 honeys off Rogentin. And it was a special, special race for them. Cyprian Sarrazin was fourth. Odermatt was fifth. Kriegmeier was sixth. It tied with Dominic Paris. But yeah, I definitely think. First off, Stefan Rogentin smashed that race. Lovely, smooth, aggressive, perfect touch on that changeable snow. But I do think the later starters didn't have the best of conditions. It certainly warmed up. There's a couple of turns in that middle section when you come past the top of the gondola there, where it was, less than ideal, shall we say. But it was a very
It
cool
was,
race.
but it was also found that the first split seemed to be after the first like eight or nine. It seemed to be nobody, no matter how good they are at gliding, could get. I think Odermatt was more than 4 tenths off at the first split, and the closest I saw after him was 0.38. Like nobody could get near the fastest split at the top. And like you said, Rogentin skied it brilliantly. But when Odermatt put some turns together lower down, that third split, he was the fastest in the race in that third split. But it just did, there was just no speed to be had at the top anymore, which was again a bit disappointing. It kind of made it harder for anyone to win. But then it kind of showed how good Rogentin's run was, because after that 0.4, he still beat the rest of that run by another, 2 tenths on Odermatt the rest of the way down. So just, yes, okay, the snow's not brilliant, but Odermatt's been so fast all year that to be able to be in front of him in any conditions shows that you're doing brilliantly. And we've seen similarly from Loic Maillard the last month. He's just been on absolute fire, and like you said, showed it again. It just seems like whatever discipline you put him in at the moment, he's just like, yeah, I can do that. Let's do
Yeah, I got
it.
that.
It was really good to see Sarrazin back as well, though. Like we were saying last week, we weren't sure if he was going to be racing or not, and then just popped up and just looked like the Sarrazin from a couple of months ago, rapid as anything, and ready to go. So hopefully he'll be there setting that. Hopefully that'll be a really fun competition next season.
I mean, the Swiss, they had an absolute flyer this season, didn't they? Just winning all the races. I wonder how many races they won in general. Have you guys looked at that?
No, but maybe Marcel, that can be a bit of information that you bring to the season pod next week.
I could do that. That's true, actually.
Maybe make yourself a little note and got yourself some homework.
I'll do that. I think that's a good idea. Because
Yeah.
they're just winning and winning and winning.
It has been mad. But do you know what? A
I mean,
Boisse.
just even in that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, was that five in the top 10 at World Cup finals? It's really, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and they look, all of them look very comfortable. Again, no, nobody putting in some outlandish performances from nowhere, apart from maybe Boisse, in his 14th or is it 15th World Cup, and he's like, "Yep, don't worry, I'm going to podium." And if Von Allmann can do it, then I'm going to do it. It's just like just absolutely mad, and the just and he looked ridiculously good doing it. So it wasn't even like he was again, yeah, that it was a bib draw race. Like I said, it was definitely better for the earlier numbers, but he still beat early numbers around him again. So I thought it was flipping wicked. I really enjoyed those guys putting in the performance. But I thought Maillard might actually take it at one point after Maillard took the lead by like 3/4 of a second over Kvyatsel, who didn't do a bad job either.
Those first couple, like he beat it by so much, I was like, has he just absolutely smashed a super gym? This is gonna be like, I know he's already paid it, like he's already won one this year, but just if he was gonna just do it again, just like I'm just be rounding off his month. I think the Swiss Federation like posted like his last kind of like 4 weeks, the amount of podiums he's had, and it was just like, you owed him that. It was just like, oh, first, second, third, second. Oh, Jesus,
I know, but
he's a great
when
last
you're a
month or so.
teammate of when you're Marco Odermatt's teammate, that's like secondary news, isn't it? You're like, yeah, look at all
Yeah,
those
no one cares
podiums you've
about
done. But
that.
yeah, we got Marco Odermatt. If I'd been a different nation, they would have been, he'd have been screaming from the rooftops like that sort of run of results. But it just gets overshadowed by
Yeah.
Odermatt's greatness.
You had like 7 podiums, and then you have like Odermatt 20 podiums and 13 wins.
Just
Too
like,
easy, too easy.
yeah.
I too was pretty impressed with Paris in that particularly soft snow. I was impressed with him because Super G is not always his thing. Like there are times when, he'll win a
Yeah.
downhill on one track and on the Super G on the same
It's
track
got
the
to be the
next
right
day, it'll
type of Super G
be
for him, isn't it?
rubbish. Yeah, but normally you say if it's not bulletproof and gnarly and whatever else, he's probably going to struggle to be in contention. But he looked really comfortable in that soft snow. And it's not the most gnarly of Super G tracks. It's good and it's fun, but it's not terrifying by any stretch. Like
Yeah.
what you'd normally say, Paris will love that. So I to be honest, when he saw his splits coming up, I was like, all right, him and he's right on this. I thought it would suit Kriegmeier a lot more, and they got exactly the same time. So.
It has been quite an interesting season for Dominic Paris. The early races that you normally expect him to do really well at just was
We
nowhere.
thought he was done, didn't we? After 4 races, we were like,
Up
is he going to
retirement.
turn up this year?
Yeah, well, yeah. So already hung his boots up for him.
Yeah. We were questioning whether he still had the speed, because it was just a case of he didn't look quick in any of the races. And then, yeah, post-Christmas, he just looked like a lot more like the Paris we know and love. But yeah, and also being able to perform, in those softer conditions.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's something that wasn't just a one-off, and if he does come back, then it's something he can bring to a slushy 2025.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it? We keep talking about it, and how many races this year have been warm? And I think it feels like we haven't had too many icy ones. Although I know middle part of January is pretty bulletproof, but it does feel like we're getting more and more of those. And I think, especially on the tech side, we've talked about it a lot, haven't we? About the teams going off and training and wanting to do more stuff on the salt. And I wonder if the speed guys will be looking at, trying to use this period, which I'm. Depending on how fresh they are, I'm sure we'll see a few Insta videos popping up of them trying to do some little late season training and maybe getting a bit of a softer ski setup just ready to go in terms of for next season.
I mean, Fella's already posting pictures of him training again. He's already back on the skis, getting ready to go for next year.
Getting back on a consistency.
Yeah, just
You
he just doesn't want to leave that
don't.
consistency
It's like
behind.
you don't become the most consistent man on the World Cup tour without training as soon as you've
Well, yeah,
won
it doesn't,
as
he
soon
can't
as you
just
won
take
a
time off, that consistency takes
play.
years.
Honestly, I'm surprised he's not still hungover after the celebrations. There look to be some quite impressive celebrations coming out of him and his camp last week with drinking. I didn't realize until watching people drink out of them the last couple of weeks that the Crystal Globes have a big hole in the bottom so you can fill them up with drink from the bottom.
Just like a giant fishbowl, like he's a
Basically, I don't know how
like
I
he's on a
hadn't seen
Greek
that
island
before.
somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't whatever he was drinking wasn't blue. It just looked like beer, but I might be wrong, but yeah, it certainly looked fast. There were a few pictures from last weekend of people drinking out of them. I'm fairly sure there's a picture of Odermatt going around drinking out of the GS one, so might have explained his performance this weekend somewhat.
I think Marco Odermatt could have one for beer, one for spirits. One for cocktails. He's just.
Did you see? I don't know if it
Oh,
was
that's my cocktail,
from
Chris, the
him.
Crystal Globe. Put that down.
I don't know if it was from his personal one or just a quote from like a Swiss broadcaster, but there was something where he said he'd met when he got the Crystal Globe a couple of years ago for GS, a met Hermann Maier, and Hermann Maier said, "Yeah, there's nothing like when you've got so many globes you can't carry them all." And he said he was looking for it was before the Sundays. So he was like, "I'm looking forward to that, where he got given all of his globes on Sundays to carry them all." I have to find that. I'll send it to you afterwards. But it was just like, "Oh yeah, Hermann Maier told me there's nothing like when you've got so many globes you can't carry them all." He was just like, "Yeah, I'm going to do that."
Legend.
Yeah, it's the first time since him and my dad won four gloves, right?
Yeah, four here. He was the last one. 2001, I think, was the last time it was done. It was, yeah, him. He did it twice, actually, to be fair.
Did he?
Yeah, he did it. He did it twice, and then actually there was somebody did it. It was Pirman Zubrigg, and did it five times because they used to include the combined. So he did it in overall downhill super G GS and combined. Somebody else did it five times, but I didn't write it down. Killy did it. He won all of the titles, but that was when they just raced downhill slalom GS, and then obviously the overall. So he won all of the titles then.
That is crazy.
But somebody
Stat
did
my
it.
lead.
I think Hirscher must have done it a bunch because you used to have the city and the parallel. So you used to have city, parallel, slalom GS, Alpine combined.
Yeah, but Hirscher
Overall.
actually not that good in the parallel, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. No, he got beaten by Dave because Dave was legend. Dave the Rocket taking down Hirscher.
Mean, that doesn't make Hirscher bad, that just makes Dave awesome.
I know. I did realize that once I said it, but yeah.
Makes Dave sound worse, got beaten by Dave.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Actually, that makes you sound like a digit disdain. Yeah, he even got beaten by Dave in the city events.
We got beaten by us in the city events. That means he's trash.
Fair point. Fair point. But yeah, and that turned out to be the very last men's race, which was obviously a shame. On the women's side, we did get the downhill underway, and that was probably the most, like you said earlier, Ben, that I'm going to claim as my own. The had the most jeopardy about it, didn't it? Because at the start of that day, Lara Gut-Bahrami had a 72-point lead over Connie Hooter, and so basically pretty much just needed to be inside the top 10 to pick up enough points to win. But Hooter smashed the race. Ilka Stuhets with a late charge nearly got the win, 17 hundredths behind, and then De Largo in third. Gut-Bahrami could only manage 17th position, and one of the four globes that she was leading at the start of World Cup finals disappeared. But it was amazing. I couldn't really, I think we, I missed the build up, so I didn't quite get the whole how close it was going to end up being. And then all of a sudden it was like Gut-Bahrami kept dropping and dropping and dropping, and then all of a sudden it was, Hooter that managed to pick up the win.
Well, in the build-up, Ed, there wasn't really any mention of Hooter. Like everything, it was all eyes on Vanir, really, as the person with like the nearest kind of points tally. It was if Vanir wins and Gut-Bahrami drops down the order, she might be able to take the globe. And then Vanir had a solid run. She was fifth, but then Hooter came down and like you said, smashed it and was leading. And then I think, because of the way Gut-Bahrami skied the last couple of weeks, where she just kind of put in a solid kind of 10th or whatever, or top 10 to get whatever, however many points it is she needs to take the globe, everyone just thought she'd do that. And I spoke to you about it beforehand. I don't know what you thought watching it. Although we said in the GS and the Super G, it looked like she was skiing well enough to put one in the finish, be in the top 10, but not take any unnecessary risks and possibly risk. Like kind of crashing and costing herself the globe. With this one, it looked like she was trying to go as fast as she could, but her skis just looked like they were in like treacle the whole run. Like even when she was in a tuck going past the cameras, it was like the cameras were slowing down to watch her go past rather than normally when they kind of whip past. It was really, really strange. I don't know if we'll ever hear exactly what went wrong, but it definitely didn't look like Gut-Bahrami was trying to play it safe, and it backfired. It looked like she was trying to find speed wherever she could, and just skis weren't responding.
Yeah, I think you're right. Definitely looked like she was up for the fight more that day, the last day of the season. She had talked about it, I think after the GS, where she'd said, if there were more races after this week, I wouldn't be racing because I'm too tired. I mean, I'm sure she would have done, but but that, I think pretty much that was what she'd said. But she definitely looked like she was pushing. Yeah, because at the start of the day, if Vanir had won, Gute Brami only needed to be seven. With Hooter winning, Gute needed to be ninth. She basically just needed a top 10, which she picked up in practically every single round of the downhill tour. So it was just so uncharacteristic. But I think, what do you think, Marcel? I think in the grand scheme of things, Gute Bahrami, yes, it's a missed opportunity. She's got plenty of globes in reality anyway, but I think that'll sting a little bit, no?
I think that will sting a little bit. I mean, if you're so close to the almost perfect season. Well, basically for her, the perfect season because she doesn't do any slalom. So that I'm sure she would have wanted to win this. And sometimes it just doesn't, I guess, doesn't work out the way you want to have it, which is a real shame because it's such a great season. But I think the spicier bit is actually Vanir and Hütter because Conny Hütter was together with this Austrian ski racer now. Vanir is together with these Austrian ski
Oh,
racers, so they
really? Oh, more
have a
soap
lot
opera
of
drama. The drama. Come on,
drama.
mate, fill us in. I mean, I thought the only love story on the World Cup tour was Schifrin and the Schifdra. Was it the Kildren?
I actually don't know it either, but it's always on the newspaper where Hütte was
Oh,
together with
I thought the
Chris
biggest
Parker.
gossip was
Oh,
was
Chris
it
Parker was Hütte's boyfriend for a long time, and then they split up, I think, and now he's with Vanir. I'm sure that must have caused some stir in the Austrian ski team.
I thought it was just Franziska Krijc and her coach. I thought that was a big Austrian romance drama from this season. I didn't realize that was going on in the background as well.
That's
I think
the stuff that Fizz TV needs to be pulling in on.
exactly. Gotta meet more of that. It's like a reality TV show.
Just
Love
a
is
spin-off.
blind,
World Cup edition.
Love Island.
Love Island, the
He's
winter edition, World Cup ski racing.
Yeah, no one puts any swimming
No,
clothes on. It's all thermals,
not
layers, loads of layers.
not in a on a in a beach villa somewhere. They're high up on a glacier on a training camp with nobody around.
Then they're around a fire pit.
They're around the plunge pool, just having done a training session. Mate, if anybody picks up on this and does one of those, we know where we found it. This is on record. So if somebody pulls our TV show on that, that's it. We're coming for you. We're suing you.
Something trademark.
No, I saw this other news article where Brignone was having a little of a dig at Schifrin, being like, well, Schifrin was not doing a couple of important races she should have been done anyway, so she would have even on even healthy she would have never won the overall World Cup. Lara Good had it all in the bag, which I thought was quite an
Oh, I missed that one. That can be that's your second piece of homework. I want you to find that article.
Dig into that. Brush up on your Italian, Marcel. That'll be it.
It was actually in the Austrian
But
newspaper. You never quite know how much they are.
don't worry about that. We can just say it was in a newspaper. It must be true. It's fine. We don't need to worry about facts and truth
We'll
here.
quote somebody else. We'll quote somebody else. So therefore, if it's libel, it's somebody else's.
I'm reliable journalism to what I'm doing here.
We're doing unreliable journalism. You do real journalism.
Yeah.
But the Austrians had a like you said also that Super G stepped in. They had a brilliant in that
I
women's
mean, what, you were
downhill.
always complaining about those girls not winning. Look at them now.
No tech. This isn't a tech team, Marcel. The speed team's always been able to get away with it.
Don't roll back now. Come on. You always said the Austrian girls, like they're always good, but they never win.
No, it's the tech team, Marcel. Go back and listen. Ed said it on the TV loads. I'm sure of it. No, the speed team is weird because it seems to be like they take turns in podiuming or winning. It seems to be like Vanir, then Puchner, then Hooter, and then back to Vanir, then Puchner, then Hooter, and Ortlieb when she's fit. But it was, it's that was a really strong outing. Obviously, it's kind of home snow as well, and it'll be exciting to see next year with the world champs there if they can replicate that performance and have a whole bunch of them up at the top, because that'd be brilliant. But they definitely need it. But I was happy for Argo. Like she's in one of those names that's not in a rotation as much. So it's good for her to get in fourth place as well, and she's like 1/100th off De Largo. And
I gotta
fair
say,
play to De Largo as well.
I thought that Esther Ledesca is gonna pick up another win. She was flying on the top section.
Ran out of
She
gas.
was what Yeah, there was quite a lot of wind as well in this one, wasn't there? So you couldn't quite tell when people were coming into the kind of like the flat section which way the wind was going, because there was some you could see the gates kind of blowing up the hill, and then it looked like at one point it kind of swung round a bit, and some people looked like they were getting it like
Yeah.
blowing behind them, and it was like, oh, those kind of races, it's hard to tell, like as the people are tucking to work out if they're actually going fast. Or you can just hear the wind on the camera and you can't work out how quick they're going. But yeah, again, that's another sign myself for next year, that the Detska, because that's going to be first speed events next year.
But you know that
The Detska, straight in.
Elvedina Musafaria, she was first on the top section actually, which is pretty impressive as well. She
Yeah,
had a
I
yeah,
really hope that
she's
she was
able to
really
build
quick at
on
the
that.
top.
Yeah, if she
Good.
can build on that, she is another cool sort of side story like we talked about with a couple of others earlier on in the pod, with some big performances from much smaller nations, and that is probably the smallest of the lot, you'd have to say. So yeah, good for her. But yeah, if I can keep it going. But I thought, what are the Austrian press saying about it, Marcel? Obviously, they'll be pretty
They're loving
hyped.
it. Absolutely loving it. I mean,
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time they won like a downhill globe. Austria won a downhill globe. I don't know who the last person was, or like last girl.
For women, Dorfmeister?
Maybe a Fenninger, maybe.
Maybe. Well,
Did
again, more
Vyth win a speed globe?
pardon?
Did Vyth win one?
Maybe. Well,
Oh
that's
yeah,
just.
Fenninger, yeah, Vyth, same person, yeah.
No.
Change name.
I'll dig that out. I think it's been a long time. Oh no, Schmidhofer won, didn't she? I
She
thought
might
she.
have won one of the ones where like she won three and someone else won three, and then it was kind of like split the difference on the.
I'll have a little
But I think
go.
it is interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, out of the eight, nine, the 10 globes on offer, Austria picked up two, and Switzerland picked up the rest, which obviously is not the easiest pill to swallow for the Austrians, but at least they managed to pick up globes. I think again at the start of the season we talked about how where was the Austrian threat going to come from, where were we going to see titles, and I don't know, it was Marco Schwarz or
Well,
nothing almost, wasn't it?
I was going to say the only other one would have been women's speed if Goggia gets injured, I think was the exact discussion we had, was if Goggia, yeah.
Downhill 2019, Nicole Schmidhofer won ahead of Steffi Vinier and Ramona Siebenhofer.
The one two for him. They told you, taking turns.
Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. Clean sweep. So,
But
yeah.
how many points was that, Marcel? I
I think
wasn't like a
nine.
thousand. I was like, probably, yeah.
That was pretty good. But before that, I mean, I'm just scrolling back like into the 1870s, and I couldn't find one.
Well, did Dorfmeister never win one?
Well, that's so far back. Like, that's literally, I mean, there's always
It's a lot
Lindsay
of
von.
scrolling, Ed. It's a lot of scrolling.
Lindsay von won so many of them.
Yeah, that's true.
We've had a couple of podiums. Fischbacher fight, obviously. Renate Götschl in 2008. Oof. Oh, there you go. Renate Götschl in 2007 won the last downhill globe. Bar Schmidhofer, obviously.
Well, that's, I mean, Hooters around to she's around, isn't she? She's around to stay for a bit longer. Hopefully, she sticks. Was she a 92 birth? So, same as
She's best age.
yeah. So she right in the prime,
Will
similar
be
age to
an in-depth,
Vinier.
interesting fight next year. It's going to be Conny Hütter against Steffi Vinier.
That, you're calling it already?
I
Bold.
called it already.
So
Bold. Now we want to have
No Ledecky,
a bit of excitement.
no Goggia. But no, pretty cool. Again, another great story for especially for those sort of with no skin in the game, to see that big swing and it go down to the wire, and that's what's great about it.
Oh, definitely. And the other podium place we didn't mention yet was Steve Hatch, 33, rocking the podium. Do we reckon we're going to see her back for the world champs next year? Like, we seem to, again, she's one of those people we seem to have that discussion about quite a lot, in terms of, okay, is she just phoning it in? Is a true kind of speed gone now? Is she going to hang up the boots? And then out of nowhere, she just pulls out an absolute monster result and
I'm sure
on the
she's been
podium.
strong because she's had lots of injuries as well. So she hasn't really actually skied that much. I mean, she's been along for a long around for a long time, but why would she not? Like, she's, great. It's just good season. Couple of good results. That was not the only podium. I think she's had another one, didn't she?
Yeah, I think so. Don't have it in front of me, but I think she. It is cool to see, right at the death of it again. Like that's a hill that you'd say would suit her, high speed and a bit crazy. And then for that to be world champs next season, if that doesn't sort of fire you up for world champs, getting a big result on the same hill, then nothing will. But and then on, obviously then we tried and we tried and we tried to get the last race of the season down, but we lost another one. So we lost five downhills in total this year for the men's side, which I think is a little bit crazy. But it was definitely the right call on the day. Just a real shame that Monday looked great. So a shame that there's no contingencies. I understand the television angle and all that sort of stuff, but surely Fizz just goes, you know what? Let's just, for the sake of the season and for the fans, we've got, let's run a race. Let's not try and shoehorn it into when it can't be run. I thought it was a bit, little bit of a shame to finish on the low like that. But in those conditions, it was definitely the right thing. Blowing an absolute gale. The snow conditions were very, very, very soft. You could see the amount of salt put in, but also the salt had, I mean the hill had taken about as much salt as it could probably take over the last 10 days, hadn't it? So one of those where you're like, I think it was only definitely the right call on the day, but just robbed of a great little battle between not only the guys on the pod, but also the guys going for the downhill
Most
title.
importantly, the guys on the pod.
Yeah, most importantly, I mean, I'm not too bothered about Sarah and Odemat. I just feel a bit bad for Ryan and Jesse.
Yeah, exactly. They've been let down by the races, last race. But the Austrians apparently were running out of salt. That's why they couldn't put any more in there.
They what, sorry? They
ran out of salt and they couldn't get enough fans to blow the clouds out of the way.
Austrians' national salt reserves, they have been all used over the week, over those 2 weeks, but they couldn't do any more.
They've got to start restocking for February. Can start shipping it in from all over the world. Yeah, it was a shame. I think I was texting you quite angrily to say, why can't they do it tomorrow? What would be today now? Is it not a reserve day? It's just a bit of a shame when you've managed to get three races off and then you're just like, okay, this is the one. This is when we want that kind of final. Here you go, and it must be a bit disappointing for the likes of Odemat to then just kind of sit around waiting all day, and then have to do a prize giving where they give you all of your end of season awards, and here's all of these globes when you feel like I haven't done it. I haven't done anything today. Like obviously he knows he's put in an entire season's worth of work, and he's going to get all of those globes anyway. But all that sitting around and waiting, and then just being handed a bunch of trophies when you haven't done any skiing must feel a bit weird on the day.
My favorite one of the award ceremony was the fact that Manu Fella had his race suit on. So, so for the overall globe, where he picked up the bronze, he was in his full Austrian ski suit, his racing suit, which just reminded me of a bit of a niche reference to those Americans and other than Brits on the pod, a little John Terry moment where coming out for the award ceremony in full kit.
Oh dear, I'm not going to say anything. That'll be that thing that gets me cancelled.
But that was the only thing that made me chuckle on a day where you're just sitting there, just willing there to be a race, and then it just not happening. Just made me chuckle. But like you say, it is racing. But unfortunately, so this season, which again we'll come on to in depth next week. But we lost 10 races in total on the men's tour, 6 races in total on the women's tour. It's tough. It's 20% of the races, basically.
Yeah, for all of that talk at the start of the year of trying to balance the calendar and more speed events, bear in mind in previous years it would have been an absolute outrage if you said we're doing seven Super Gs and eight downhills and 10 GSs and 10 slaloms, which is what I think they ended up having. But you could imagine going into the season, the speed skiers being really mad that they had no chance of getting in the mix up for the overall. And, you got the speed skier dominating the overall. Anyway, I'm not really sure if you call him an outright speed skier, but just a brilliant one wins everything, unsurprisingly. But it is tough. But obviously, we've talked about it a bunch this year. It's so difficult for fifth to know what to do. They run a replacement, people get injured, everyone complains they're running replacements at short notice or they're doing too many races back to back. They cancel them completely and everyone's mad that they're not getting enough races. Like they can't win.
No.
But again, yeah, only having eight downhills and seven super G's is a bit of a bummer for the season. When you look at getting off 10 slaloms and 10 GSs, it makes it look like they're not trying, but we know full well they are definitely trying. And everything they do seems to be wrong in someone's opinion that's got a
Yeah.
lot of Instagram followers. So, yeah, they almost just need to get out of the season, come up with some plans for next year, get as many of the, I guess, racers, coaches, and teams around the table and be like, what do you want us to do about this moving forwards? What will make
I actually,
the skiing world happy?
hopefully they don't do that. I hope they don't. No, seriously, I think I actually thought about this. There's no problem. They have not done. Okay, fair enough. The Wenger downhill was a bit dodgy because he was just too much at one time. It was a great race though, but I feel like the more people you have, everyone has their own opinion. It's just like, this is it. This is what's happening now. Everyone gets their race allocation anyway. I think they've already cancelled from what I saw, the Wengen downhill. Not the Wengen, the Zermatt is not going to have any races next year.
That isn't confirmed. I think
Fourth
Fizz,
time lucky.
well, I think Fizz are talking about cancelling it, but actually, I think the hard bit is they signed a 5-year deal with Zermatt Cavigna.
Yeah.
And so Zermatt Cavigna obviously put a load of money into getting this downhill run, and for Fizz to turn around and say, do you know what? Actually, we've tried three times and it's not worked, so we're not going to bother putting it on the calendar, which is probably the right call.
Just put it on the
Zermatt
calendar, brackets,
Cavigna are
week
then,
off.
yeah, Zermatt Cavigna are there going, well, hang on a minute, we signed a contract and you said that we were going to have it for 5 years, so we want it for the next two. So we'll see how that plays out, because I think it might be a bit of a tug of war to see if that happens or doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't disagree myself in terms of if this were better at saying this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it, it would probably help a bit more, but they seem to just kind of do everything quite quietly, and certainly in season it feels like they're making it up as they go. Even if it's all written down and planned what they're going to do in every given situation, it doesn't come across like it's a plan. It comes across like they're making it up as they go, which is why then the racers and people get mad at them. Whereas if they said, okay, in situation X, this is what we do, in situation Y, this is what we do, like, we're never going to put another replacement downhill at Wengen because it's too strenuous. Like, if they came out and said that, just say weekends that aren't Wengen, Kitzbühel or Bormio, if it's Kvitfjell, we'll add an extra day, we'll make provisions to put a Monday race in. If it's Beaver Creek or pick any other downhill, we'll make provisions for it. But based on what happened this year, we're not going to do it on these races. Also, I don't, I'm not, never raced to the level you guys have, so I don't know how much sway sponsorship has in it. But I do think athletes should be a bit more empowered to say if they feel like they're running on empty, like Ed, you were saying, Lara Cooper-Army was saying a few weeks ago, if you're at a particularly dangerous downhill and you've done a super G, you've done a downhill, you've done a bunch of training runs, and you're like, I'm exhausted. The day of, you just be able to say, I'm not going to start. Yes, I might forfeit some, appearance fees and whatever else, but be empowered to say, you know what, this to do this
Yeah, I get
takes
what
a
you're.
lot of strain. And like it seems to be like once you're there, the athletes don't really have a way of saying,
No,
I'm
I
not in a
don't think
fit
that's the
state to
case.
do this.
I don't think any team is pushing. Let's use Kilder as probably the easiest example, isn't it? I don't think anybody pushed Kilder out of the gate on that third race. He pushed out of the gate. wanting to race and wanting to risk everything to try, wanting to win. And I genuinely believe that that is what he pushed out of the gate wanting to do. He just got unlucky that he ran out of energy at the bottom, and that was it. But no one forced him to race. And if he'd stood in the start gate and gone, man, I'm too tired. I can't do this. I've been sick. I've done 2 days. I've done a couple of training runs, and I can't do it. I don't think anybody would be pressuring him into racing. The only person pressuring him into racing would have been himself. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah,
And
and
I'd be
that's
really
when I,
surprised if that's not the case.
well, yeah, when I say how much pressure there is on them, it is pressure they put on themselves based on the contracts that they have, rather than the people they have the contracts with telling them they have to start if they're unless their leg's broken or whatever.
Yeah,
It
but I
is very
don't.
much like you said, it's in your mind as a racer. I'm here. This is my job. This is what I've got to do. Whereas the empowerment to say, this actually might not be the best thing right now. A bit more like, I guess, the shifting approach. Granted, as it's a bit more strategic in terms of it's planned further in advance. But you can also see if there was a racer on the tour to say, actually, yesterday I was way more exhausted than I was expecting. I haven't recovered to the levels I need to. She's the most likely person to turn around and say, I think it'll be dangerous for me to race today or potential risk of injury.
But she's
And
able to do that
I feel like,
because she's able to do that because she's got, a bunch of whatever races she's doing. If she's racing speed races, it's because they're for a major championships or just to help on an easy on a track that suits her to pick up a globe. It's not the make or break. Whereas you get, again, the Kilder thing, he's there for a title. So he probably feel, if Kilder doesn't push out the gate, he's given 100 points to Sarah-Zeina Oudemar, or, 80, 100 big points. Whereas Schifrin goes, I'm not going to race this downhill. And in reality has very, I know this is a sweeping statement, but in reality has very little outcome on her season if she doesn't race a downhill. Whereas if Kilder, Kriechmeier, Sarah-Zeina Oudemar chooses to not race a speed race, that has major repercussions. Obviously, more major repercussions if you do what Kilder did, but obviously that's hindsight. But if you imagine the stuff that we'd be talking about if Kilder just went at the top, I'm not up for it. I'm not going to push out the start gate today.
I'd rather that than stopping halfway down saying, oh, my edge got blunt because I hit a stone. Which
Well, that's true.
was an actual conversation we had. It's just it's an interesting topic to see if we get to the point where any of the races do feel a bit more impact, like with the calendar the way it is, and if they say, you know what, if Wengen can hold back-to-back downhills, we're doing it. It's up to you if you want to race or not. Like it, like that. I guess that where that discussion started was Fis need to say this is what we're doing, and then if the racers say that's not fair, I might hurt myself, they can turn around and say that's what we're doing. You don't have to race,
I
and
just, I
Oudemar
just,
can win both days, or Sarrazin can win both days, and other people can, sit back and watch.
I
It does
just,
like I just want them to be decisive. Is probably the
I just,
summary of that.
I just feel like you can't give people too much power to make the, I Fis needs to be clear on what they want to do and clear what they want to decide. But I personally don't think you can give the racers any more responsibility. Bar their own responsibility to do whatever they want and ski or not, because Lara Good's tired on one weekend. She's like, oh, well, this is too dangerous. Let's not race. She has maybe more weight. Her voice has more weight than others, but just because she is tired doesn't mean the other ones are tired. And then the next weekend you have like, oh, I'm tired now. Let's not race. And this is where I see the danger in it. Giving them too much power when if it's dangerous. Like if the slope shit or whatever, fair enough, like let's not race, but you can't just make them dictating the calendar, because that doesn't make any sense, I feel like, because then you're gonna end up in a situation where you have half of them saying, I don't want to race today, I'm tired, and the other half is like, oh, let's race today, I'm not tired. Like, I think that's going to be very tricky.
Well, again, it forces, think about a little bit more about strategy in terms of trainings and all that sort of stuff. Again, interestingly, have a again sidetrack onto a different sport, but in rugby, they talk about how, you know, you've got these massive blokes now, but because they were able to substitute, fitness isn't as big a thing because you're only playing for 60 minutes rather than 80 minutes, or 45 minutes rather than 80 minutes. Whereas a ski racing, you know, if you know that you're doing triple, if you've got to do triple Vängen, or you could do triple Vängen, maybe you're going to sacrifice some bulk to make sure your fitness levels are better. That's just interesting. You know, somebody that maybe go, you know, my skill set, I'm the fittest guy on the mountain, so actually I want these really tough schedules because I know that my batteries are going to be more full than anybody else come, you know, February. So you're right that in that respect, Marcel, I totally agree. Actually, you know, it's for some people that schedule would be nothing. They'd be like, actually, it plays into my hands. Everybody else gets tired, and I'm there because I've trained. You know, I've basically done the Tour de France 6 times over the summer. But
I completely agree.
it is,
Like,
it is an interesting point, though.
if fists make the decision, like, so what my point is that athletes should be empowered to say they don't want to race if they don't want to. Not that the race shouldn't happen, but they're not taking part in it. Like, if FIS say this is the schedule, we're doing this, this is how we're going to replace races if we can't put them on, everyone knows that going into it, and they can decide when they do and don't want to race. And then at the end of the season, if they've got enough points, they get a globe. If they don't have enough points, they
Tough.
don't get a globe.
Tough.
I'd imagine they're carrying all of them apart from the slalom one.
Well, you might try and carry that one as well. So don't worry, let me try and carry that for you, man.
Yes, Marco, next year, slalom skis, let's go.
Gentlemen, anything to add? I mean, we'll dig deep into the season and probably try not to rehash old ground, but I'm sure that'll come up again, I would say. But anything to add before we depart? No. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for the penultimate time. It's been, you know, an excellent season of reviewing races and trying to keep ourselves entertained, if nobody else. And so we will be back next week. We're looking to put it out on the 2nd of April. I'm going to put it on the pod to make sure that we actually end up doing it this year, other than like last year where we said, yeah, we'll do a review pod. And then Marcel said we shouldn't, and that was it.
Goodbye.
Whoa.
So
Single for myself.
I'm going to cut him off before he has a chance to reply. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Until next week, it is Marcel.
Goodbye for now.